You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Each week, the JX looks around Southern Oregon and Northern California to learn about one city or town in our listening region. Today, we're talking with Fred Fry. He's the mayor of the city of Powers, Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Mayor Fry.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let's begin with geography. Where is the city of Powers located?
Well, I would say it's probably about 25 to 30 miles due east of Cape Blanco, and we're an hour's drive southeast of Coos Bay.
Okay, so you're on the Oregon coast.
We're in the Powers is unique in that it's probably the largest town, almost the only town. It's smack in the middle of the Coast Range Mountains, and the high school, for instance, they're known as the Cruisers, as in timber cruisers. It's a timber town.
Okay, so tell me about it. What's the land size, population, demographics?
Well, on the last census, we were at within the city limits at 713 people, and that was up from the previous city, census of 683. But if you count just outside the city limits and surrounding area, we're over 1,000 people here, 1,200. And one of the distinctive features of the city is the South Fork of the Coquille River runs right through the middle of town. And that's just one of those clear mountain streams with this crystal clear water in it and great swimming holes. And being inland, you know, the temperature's a little warmer here. So it's just got some ideal vacation spots.
Okay, so you're inland along a river.
The Coquille River, the South Fork of the Coquille River, which empties, it comes out at Bandon, Oregon.
Okay. Now, I understand that the city is known as the gateway to the Siskiyous?
Yes, we do have that title because the National Forest, and like I said, it's a timber town. My grandfather in 1912 worked on the railroad in here so they could get at the virgin timber. And that was before log trucks, and they were still using steam donkeys.
Oh, okay.
So timber's been the foundation of and the reason why the city of Powers is here.
Well, I understand that in 1914 the city was named after Albert Powers. He was vice president and general manager.
He was a financier at the time, and his family still owns considerable tracts of ranches around the area and just. Timber interest. They're always particularly supportive of the town of Powers. Oftentimes when we need things and stuff, they want to hear about it.
Okay, and he owned the Smith Powers Logging Company, and I understand the Powers Post Office was named after him as well.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Along with Powers County Park?
Yes, I guess so. That's the county park. That's run by the county. It's right, right on the edge of our city limits, and we have an old mill pond right there, which has been incorporated into that park, and it gets stocked with trout every year, and we have a bass tournament there, and the kids. This is a real nuclear community. There's still a lot of families here, and we have a really first rate, high school and grade school here. And a lot of families, for instance, it's a real nuclear community. You know, the grandparents can come out and watch their grandkids play baseball and basketball and that sort of thing. So, and then the county park's right on the edge of town, and the pond is a place where a lot of people go.
Well, you mentioned a high school. How big is the high school? How many students? And you have an elementary school as well, right?
Yeah, we do. We do. Just a second here. Hey, how many kids are in the high school?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. 150? Yeah, we got about 150 kids in the high school.
Okay.
And so
they're the Cruisers, right?
Yeah, the Cruisers. They are girls. Huh? Oh. Wait a minute. It's a little below 100 in the high school.
Okay.
Excuse me. And but our girls team in basketball got sixth in the state tournament, and they play 8-man football there, and it has the complete support of the community.
Oh, that's amazing for such a small town. It sounds like the town is a living monument to the memory of Albert Powers. Tell me about the Wagner House and the Pioneer and Railroad Museum.
Well, it's not funded properly enough, but it has the people that manage it are the best you could hope for. And it's a museum that you could spend all day in. It's right off the Powers Highway, which is still a state highway, goes to the middle of town. And it's on the south side of the river, on the west side of the road, and it's you drive right by it. It's just an old building with just all sorts of pictures, photographs, old books, and everything. And we got three folks there that run the place and just do an incredible job. The grounds are immaculately clean, kept very nice. And it's just a stop along the way. If you told the people that the Powers was a monument to the Powers family, that's not front of mind for most people around here. Okay, this is their home. They live here, and it's beyond the city limits. There's quite a few people that live here, and we're becoming more and more a tourist destination or a destination for. People love to come and camp because of it's just beautiful, the valley we're in here, and the river and the swimming holes in the fall and winter. Sports fishing is we have a hell of a steelhead run. We're trying to bring back the salmon run, and so that's timber's taken this town about as far as it can go. It becomes more automated over time. So, but we're finding, the economic foundation is more in tourism now.
What's the most popular time of year?
Although we do have another project that I was able to talk to Senator Merkley here at a town hall just recently, and we had a fire that took away one of our main buildings in town, and we're hoping to maybe turn that into a research center for archaeology, biology, and geology. A little unknown to a lot of people there, that before timber became the economic foundation of this area, that miners were here. And there was a lot of gold mining took place in the original 1849 gold rush. And this whole area, if it wasn't covered with so much valuable timber, would be a geologic wonderland. And we're trying to get and we've been recruiting through universities. We're trying to get this research center going. As I said, we've got an excellent spot in the middle of town there where we could put a building, and hopefully we can draw. We've been talking to Oregon State University and others, and trying to get them behind a project like that where we could have graduate and postgraduate work there done. The Coquille tribe wants to reorient. This is where they're originally from, this valley right here. And they've been really helpful in trying to, keep the place going. That's the word. And improve on the access and just improving the visibility to the public at large out there.
So environmental research is a project that you're working on.
Yeah, we are. And it would, like I say, geology, biology, archaeology, all too often anymore in public lands, you've got to have an archaeologist there if you're going to turn the soil. And if we had a research institute with graduate students and postgraduate students, we thought we could maybe provide a service that costs way less and would be able to respond sooner. That was the thinking there on that. And then the geology and then the biology. The Coquille tribe has purchased some land just south of town here, about 2 miles outside of town, to put a fish hatchery in there. And we're trying to restore the salmon run in the Coquille River system, which is largely collapsed. But there's a lot of people. We got the Coquille Step Salmon Trout Enhancement Program, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Coquille tribe. They're all working together to try and reestablish the salmon run in the Coquille River system, which will only help, you know, it's a huge, that would, a restored salmon run would be a huge economic benefit to the area.
And that would bring more visitors as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh absolutely. You know, I mean, salmon, you know, big, bright, you know, 25-pound Chinook salmon, that's just hard currency right there. Yeah, you know, you catch one of them, people talk, they talk about it, it's, you know, thrill of a lifetime.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Fred Fry, mayor of Powers, Oregon. Now, you said that you are getting visitors. About how many visitors do you get every year?
Oh, gosh, you know, we don't have a hard number on it, but we just tell by the road traffic, and we've got about between here and the state, the highway that goes through town goes all the way over to Agnes and the Rogue River, and there's about five dry campgrounds along the river through there, and they're full all the they're just full all the time, you know, and you know they're just dry campgrounds where there's a place to park and you're by the river and you got a fire pit there, but those we're just seeing more and more of it all the time. You know, I don't have exact numbers, and that's part of what we're also working with when I go back to the research institute that we're trying to put together so we could better track, the amount of people that are coming to the area and for what purposes.
Well, I understand the town also celebrates White Cedar Days. What is that?
Yes, that's the 4th of July. And there's a unique cedar. It's called, you know, I grew up in Port Orford, which is just due west of here. And that's it's called Port Orford cedar, or you call it white cedar. And it's just a unique wood that just grows in this general area, highly valuable, and it doesn't rot, you know. And so it's White Cedar Days, and that a lot of that timber way back when helped make this town. And so that's what we call our 4th of July celebration.
When did you move to Powers, and why?
I've been here for about 15 years now, and although, you know, I grew up in the area, I always knew where Powers was, and I had family members that had lived here before, and you know, my grandparents, great-grandparents, raised a family in Marshfield, you know, just before the 20th century started, and so we've got relatives all over the whole general southwestern Oregon here, and Powers is just, you know, just a unique spot. I was a commercial fisherman for a long time. In the West Coast here in Alaska, and there's, you know, they're seasick and they're sick of the sea, and I'm, you know, I don't need to see any more surf or saltwater for a while, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what's the major economic driver in the town?
Well, it's still a timber town, yeah, but more and more, you know, just tourism. Like I say, in for about 3 months out of the year, we had just, the steelhead run is pretty significant here, and we just overrun with the sport fishermen at that point. And in the summertime, people just come up here because it's a great place for, you know, family picnics and gatherings and camping and swimming holes. The weather, you know, if it's 100 degrees in Roseburg, it's 85 degrees here. You know, if it's 60 degrees in Coos Bay, it's 70, 75 here. We're really in the sweet spot as far as weather goes.
And how long have you been mayor?
This is my first term. I was on the city council for a number of years, it's a 2-year term. I'll be up for re-election in November. And I had an opponent the first time I ran. I don't know whether anyone's going to even run this time, but I'll be on the ballot again.
Okay, well, we've got about a minute left. Tell me, what's your vision over the next 5 years for Powers?
Well, the timber's taken as far as it can take us, and a research center and something that where we could a research center is really one of the things I'm hoping for, and I have a consensus on the city council to pursue this, and if we can find the funding, and or you know, and we're asking and looking everywhere, and we've retained another firm that's also helping to look for that. So that's one of the main things. And just generally, you know, and then the tourism is just, that's happening all on its own.
Okay.
And we're just trying to accommodate that as much as we can.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much, Mayor.
Okay, you betcha. Thanks for having us on there.